I don't know which stand to use, so I'm just going to grab one. Is that it? If I start singing, it's because I got your notes mixed up with my notes. And you might not want to hear me sing. It might be bad. Yeah, he took my joke. He told you I have four beautiful kids. My joke is I'm the proud father of three beautiful children, four altogether. I said that somewhere, and man, a lady got offended. It's like, I'm just kidding. Two of them are beautiful. They're beautiful because I have a beautiful wife sitting right over there. Someone asked me one time, how did you get such a pretty wife? And I said, because I lied like a dog. Told her if she married me, she'd never have to work. We got married and she got three jobs. So I'm not texting either. I'm setting up a timer on my phone. So anyway, I'm excited to be here today. Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity to come here today. We were talking right before service, and we didn't get to get in depth, but he made a statement that just rang with my heart. He said, I woke up with a heavy heart for revival. And I don't care what part of the country you live in. We're blessed to live in the Ozarks. I was born here. My mama's great-great-grandparents are from here. This is home. I got to grow up for a little while in St. Louis, and so I kind of grew up in the city, but this is home. And I meet people every day from different walks of life, and I find something in common, no matter where you come from, no matter what demographic you're part of, no matter what financial demographic you're part of, we all go through trials, we all go through tribulations, and it seems like we all have a situation in our life that we're asking God for help. It might be financial, it might be spiritual, it might be emotional, it might be relational. But we all have situations that we're asking God, God, I need an answer to a problem. Am I the only one that fits in that category, or would anyone in here agree with me? If you can see the notes on my hand, it's because I've got a pen in my pocket. And while they were singing a song, God spoke to me, and I began to write notes on my hand. And so I might veer off my notes, Mr. Soundman. But he said that, and it rang out to me, and I thought, no matter what part of the country we live in, there is something that is stirring up in the hearts of God's children that we are saying, God, we need revival in this land, because I'm just a little tired of seeing God's children suffer from the same addictions year after year and suffer from the same attacks year after year. I'm tired of the tail wagging the dog with our government. I'm tired of the ant telling the elephant who's in charge. I'm just tired of being told that we no longer have a voice in our community. And I believe with all of my heart that we are living in the last days. And the Bible says that in the last days that God is going to pour his spirit out among all flesh. There will be a great revival. I do not believe that God is coming back for the losing side. I believe he's going to be coming back for the winning side, because we have been made more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Man, that just struck a nerve with me. I was on my lawnmower the other day, and I that's just kind of where I go to think, and that's kind of where I go to talk to myself, and I do. I have conversations audibly out in the yard. My wife will say, who was you talking to? And I said, myself. Coincidentally, you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. You're not crazy if you answer yourself. You are crazy if you say, what was that? But I just had the thought, we all have problems, we all have situations, we all have trials. What if, by chance, the answer to the prayer I've been looking for, the deliverance that I'm needing, was hinged or it was dependent upon the praise that came out of my mouth. Not the prayer that came out of my mouth, but the praise that came out of my mouth. I'll take it one step further. What if the prayer you needed answered was dependent on the praise that came out of my mouth? If you've got a Bible, turn it on. Or open it up to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm going to read this pretty quick. I might skip around. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 6, verse 1. And I don't know what we're looking at up there. I'm reading out of a New King James, but I'll read it out of that. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two he covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another. That's a key verse. Everyone say that. And they were calling one to another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. If you live under guilt today, it has been taken away. There is no reason to live under guilt. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. I love this scripture. This scripture gives a perfect picture, I believe. No matter if you're looking in the Old Testament, no matter if you're looking in the New Testament, I believe this picture gives a perfect picture of what church should look like, what our personal lives should look like in the life of a worshiper. There are several things in this scripture that we find that happens when we create an atmosphere of praise. When I was a kid, I grew up playing drums. I am not near the drummer that we have in this church. But God blessed me in that area, and I was able to do some pretty cool things in that area. And while I was playing drums, I hung around some guys, and I started playing keyboard. And then I started leading praise and worship. And in leading praise and worship, God brought me to this scripture. And God showed me this in a venue of leading praise and worship, that there's some keys about praise and worship in the field of music. But I learned at a young age that praise and worship is not inclusive to music. Music is a part of praise and worship, but it is a very small part. And I learned in this scripture that praise and worship is a lifestyle, is something that we do every day in the life of a believer. And that the praise that comes out of us has power, that if we don't realize what it can do, we are living a life that is subpar to the power that God has given us. I read this scripture, and I begin to see several things that happen when we praise. The first thing that I see is this. It says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Isaiah is not the prophet yet, but he is brokenhearted, and he is on his way home from a funeral. His best friend has died. His heart has been shattered. And he stops by the temple. And he says, this time I see him. That's what is different this time than every other time before. The reason he sees God this time is because his heart has been broken. And the first thing that I find in this verse of scripture is that God will use our brokenness as a door to speak to us. Now, don't get me wrong. I do not believe that God will intentionally break our heart and cause bad things to happen to us. But I do believe that God will take situations in our life and say, okay, now that you have had this situation break you, let me go through the cracks of that break and speak to you. He can take the vulnerable situations in our life. He can take the times that we have been broken. He can take the times that we feel like we have been shattered, and he can speak to us in a still, small voice. And he can say, now that you have been broken, you can see me. You can see who I really am. You can see what I can really do. You can see me. If you read the book of Psalms, you see so many times and time again where David has been broken, he's been rejected, he's been ridiculed. He says, many are they that rise up against me, O God. How are they increased that trouble me? It's out of those broken times in our life that we dig deep into our hearts and really find out who God is. It's in those times that we really find out that we can lean on God, and we discover that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us, he'll condemn. It's in our brokenness that God can really speak to us. The next thing that I see is this, and I'm probably going to spend a little more time here than probably any other thing. It's that our conversation makes his throne. If this is the only thing you take home from this, take this home, write it down. Our conversation makes his throne. If you look in the Old Testament and you look at the Ark of the Covenant, or if you just watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, you see the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of it, there are two angels, and they're pointing at each other with their wings, and that is creating what we know is called the mercy seat. It's the throne of God. It's the place that God sits and reigns. If you look in this scripture, something that's very neat, who are they talking to? They're not telling God he's holy. They're telling each other God is holy. And Isaiah is not part of the conversation. Isaiah walks into a room, and the seraphim are telling each other that God is holy. And at the sound of their voice crying to each other, the scripture says, the doorposts are shaken with the glory of God entering the room. I didn't grow up as an electrician, but I did grow up in a family of builders, and I have a vague little concept of how electricity works. And if you put it in slow motion, extreme slow motion, I understand that electricity works like this. If you flip a light switch to turn on a light bulb, inside that light bulb are two little probes, and an atom starts bouncing back and forth between those two probes. And it gets faster and faster and faster until all of a sudden it explodes into light. Have you ever wondered why in churches it's built this way, where there's a band and singers up here, and we're saying God is holy, and you're looking back saying, yes, he's holy, and we're saying God is holy, and you're singing, yes, he's holy, and we're saying God is holy, and you're singing he's good, and we're saying he's good, and we're saying he's awesome, and his mercy endures forever, we are creating a modern-day mercy seat. And just like electricity, we are creating an altar, and it goes back and forth, and it gets more powerful. That's why at the end of service, we've created a throne called an altar area. Have you ever wondered why we don't pray for you in the back of the room, but we pray for you up here? It's because this is the center of where we've been saying God is holy, and this is the place that we've created a throne for him to sit, rule, and reign. I'll take it one step further. If you read the Word of God, I've got a halfway decent education, and I've read the Bible a couple times, and if you can find a different place, I'll be happy to show it to me. There's one place in the Bible that says God's willing to live. It says he inhabits the praises of his people. He does not live in our bitterness. He does not live in our anger. He does not live in our depression. He lives in our praise. So many times when I'm down and out, I find myself doing this. We will go to Starbucks and spend $10 on a cup of coffee we can't afford, spilling our guts to someone that's not qualified to listen, telling them how bad everything is, wondering why life's getting worse, instead of creating God a throne of praise, when what we should be doing is realizing the only place he's willing to rule and reign in our life is in our praise, and finding us someone that will agree with us and say, you know what? God is holy. No matter what's going on in my life, he is holy. Like Job said, though he slay me, I will trust in him because he is holy. My God is good all the time. If I could just make you understand, that word inhabits. When it says he inhabits the praises of his people, that word inhabits actually means to sit, rule, and reign. It is the same as the throne of a king. A king cannot decree a law unless he is sitting on his throne. Our president cannot sign a law unless he is sitting at his desk at the Oval Office. He can't do it on a golf course. That scripture is telling us the only place God can set and rule and reign on our behalf is in his throne of praise. And it's our conversation that makes his throne. I tie this to one of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says this, it says, praise is more than singing. It is the fruit of your lips. If you have a New King James or New American Standard, it says to continually offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips. I love that scripture because it tells me three little words that jumps out at me. Continually, sacrifice, and fruit. Continually, it's easy. A few years ago, my well went out. Anyone ever had their well gone out? Have you ever noticed it goes out right at the most horrible times? Right when you're needing to take a shower to go to work? It's never in the afternoon. It is like 6 a.m. when everyone needs a shower, well goes out. I'll never forget that morning. I walk outside. Well's gone out. I am on my way to Walmart to buy 20 gallons worth of water so we can at least have water to brush our teeth and stuff. And I looked up and I said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Sometimes it drives my family and my friends nuts because have y'all ever seen that meme on Instagram or Facebook where it's Big Bird walking down the Death Star with Darth Vader and everybody, and he's still smiling, that's me. I can be having the worst day, and it's still a good day. It's just my genetic makeup. Did you know that if you have a roof over your head, one pair of shoes, today I was looking at my wife going, these or these? Then I thought, man, that doesn't feel very manly when I'm looking at my wife going, these or these? If you have a roof over your head, one pair of shoes, and one meal a day, you are in the top 6% wealthiest people of the world. And I get mad when my heated seats go out. I will bless the Lord at all times. Continually offer up the sacrifice. The sacrifice, I have a theory about that. I've heard people say that is when you, to praise God when you don't feel like it. Here's my theory. Gentlemen, the next time it's date night, do something extra special. Make reservations at Top of the Rock. Do a spa day for your wife. Rent a limo. Have flowers waiting at the table. Then when you're looking at her over those flowers and candlelight, look at her and go, I love you, but I really don't feel like being here. Tell me how that turns out the next day. I don't believe the sacrifice of praise is praising God when you don't feel like it. The sacrifice, David said, I cannot offer unto God something that did not cost me something. Don't get me wrong, there's times that I'm tired, and there's times that I'm down, and there's times that I've just had a rotten day, and there's times that even I don't smile. But the sacrifice of praise is saying, God, you've been better to me than I've been to myself. God, I've got to praise you. You are wonderful. The sacrifice is saying, God, I know this is important, but you are always more important. The sacrifice, I'll never forget the day I was going to ask Rachel to marry me. Actually, it was the day I was going to ask her dad permission to ask her to marry me. It was her birthday. And I sent flowers. They were having her birthday at Top of the Rock, and it was the first time I was going to meet the majority of her family. And I sent flowers down to Top of the Rock for her, and I sent roses in a second vase to her mom. And in the vase for her mom, it said, it was Rachel's birthday, thank you for birthing the rose of my life. Yeah, go ahead. And that's exactly what was waiting on me when we got to dinner that night. We get to dinner, and there's her mom, and there's her grandmother, and all their aunts, and they're going, we've got to meet the guy that sent flowers to the mom on her birthday. And I'm like, y'all don't even see that I'm setting y'all up to ask for her hand in marriage. Something that I learned a long time ago is the flowers didn't cost any more to do it that way. But I sacrificed time, and I sacrificed effort, and I sacrificed thought and planning, because the presentation is what made them worth more than the dollar value. I cannot offer unto God something that didn't cost me something. But then the fruit of my lips is very simple. I was noticing a conversation between my two youngest children. Our neighbor across the street have an apple tree. And when those apples are ripe, they'll go over and they just pick apples. And at first I thought my kids were thieves. And it turns out that the neighbor said, no, just come and take whatever apples you want. And it turns out that I'm listening to my kids, and Gabby, the youngest one, asked Gavin and says, do you think that one day there'll be like pears on that? Or I think she said peaches. Gavin's 8 years old. And he says no because an apple tree only has apples on it. And I thought, isn't it interesting that an eight-year-old knows that a seed will only produce after its own kind? But some adults think that we can keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and get different results. But my eight-year-old knows that an apple tree will only produce apples. Hebrews calls it the fruit of your lips. If you read Psalms, it said that out of the heart flows the issues of life, and from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if the praise is the fruit of my lips, that means the goodness of God has to be the seed in my heart. And if the seed in my heart produces a fruit called praise, the praise that comes out is the natural fruit that comes out of my mouth at any time. Which means that I can walk into any room at any given time and begin to speak the word of God in any situation because it is the seed that is in my heart. And the seed that is in my heart produces the fruit out of my mouth, and the person in the room that I don't know might be going through a hard time, but he hears a word that comes out of my mouth and it changes his life because the word that comes out of my mouth was the word he needed to hear. I'll never forget, as long as I live, Gavin would have been about 2.5 years old, and we're on a family vacation, the St. Louis Zoo. There's like 18 of us. And we're there, and we think Gavin is with my baby sister. It was my mom, my dad, my two sisters, their husbands, their kids. When my family goes on vacation, it is the Clampets have come to town. And we're at the St. Louis Zoo, and we have spent the whole day there, and we're finished, and we leave, and we're out in the parking lot, and Rachel looks at me, and I look at Rachel, and we look at my sister, and we go, where is Gavin? He is gone. He is not with the family. He is 2.5 years old. She is pregnant with Gabby, and we realize at that moment, he's in the last place we were at. He is in the snake house. I hurdle the little gate, and I run. The snake house, if you've been to the St. Louis Zoo, is in the back of the park. It's like August, and I run as fast as I can. And I run into that snake house. I run into the room. I don't see him. Adrenaline is just, I can't see a thing. And I don't know what to do, so I just scream to the top of my lungs, Gavin! And I hear him go, Dada, you're here. And he runs to the sound of my voice. He's 2.5, holding his blankie, bawling, just tears streaming down his face. He could not see me because the snake house is dark, but he heard my voice and ran to my voice. I scoop down, I pick him up, and he says, Dada, you've saved me. I've got him, and I said, I'm here, buddy. Nothing can hurt you. I've got you. And all he would say is, Dada, you've saved me. Dada, you've saved me. And I'm holding him like this, walking back to the parking lot. And God spoke to me at that moment, and he said, now you have a vague, vague, vague conception of the heart of a father that his children are lost in the snake house, and they are scared, and I just need a few of my children to walk into a room and speak fruit of my word out of your lips, because at the sound of your voice, they will hear it, and faith comes by hearing. And at the sound of your voice, they will look and they will recognize salvation, and they won't even realize it's salvation. But the word says that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If you want revival in your city, if you want revival in your home, in your school, at your work, learn to learn the word. Get the word inside of you and let it become the fruit of your lips. Continually offer up the sacrifice of praise in good times, in bad times, in hard times. Understand that God is holy. He is righteous. He is just. I believe this with all of my heart. We have a generation that is lost in a snake house. And if just a few people would be bold enough to walk into a room and not care who's around, but just begin to speak the word of the Lord and know that God is good and He is holy, people will begin to go, I don't know what that is, but I'm drawn to it. There is safety in that voice. There's salvation in that voice. And He will begin to draw, and we will begin to see revival in the way that God intended revival. And in these last days, He will pour His Spirit out. But we have to learn the power of continually offering the sacrifice of praise. Stand to your feet this morning. As the prayer team comes down, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you say, I want that security, I want that knowledge, knowing that if I died today, I would go to heaven, I need to make Him my Lord and Savior, I want you to slip out of your seat and come down here, and they'll pray with you. If you say, I'm going through something in my life that I need security, I need peace that passes understanding, I just need someone to pray with me, whether it's relational, financial, spiritual, emotional, slip out of your seat, come down, and the prayer team will pray with you. Everyone bow your heads. Lord, we thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that this word has gone into our hearts, God. I pray that we will take it home and it will produce fruit. Lord, I pray, God, that in every situation, God, we will understand the importance of continually offering the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. In Jesus' name, the altars are open.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.